such, Pastor.
Well, thank God for a relationship, amen, that God puts together, and thank God for a pastor. Man, we all need, how many of you know pastors need pastors? Yeah, and you know, God spoke to my wife and I in 2009, I believe it was, that he had a new assignment for us. And we weren't looking for a new assignment. Our church in Decatur was doing well. But he said he had a new assignment for us, and just get ready. He confirmed it. We talked to Pastor about it, and just a few people. And I was on the board of, I've probably told you the story, but it's all right, it's worth repeating. I was on the board of this large African ministry, and they were looking for a CEO, and I wrote out all the job descriptions and did all things that to help them find a CEO. And the president, who was wanted to retire, he was just going to stay with in that position for about 6 months to transition. And he said, "Well, I keep comparing all these people to you, Greg." And so he said, "I think you're the guy." And, you know, we prayed about it, talked to Pastor. I mean, we felt like it was God. And they were reaching a lot of people, and my focus was to help disciple and plant churches and that kind of thing. And we were going to add some dimensions to the ministry. Well, so we were in that position as a CEO, training under the president, who was going to resign within a year. And then we saw tremendous success. We saw the ministry went from 1.1 million in finances to 1.2 million in a recessionary year. All kinds of systems put in place. Things were just, I mean, the partner base was growing. Everything was good. I never had a cross word with this man. We were friends. And my wife went with me in February, I think, was it 2011? So she goes with me to Africa, and we come back, and the president calls me in and fires me. And we never even a cross word, man. I said, "Fire me? What do you mean?" I said, "Look, 7 weeks ago, I handed off a church to a son in the faith that I pastored for 24 years. Now, I can't go back and take that church over," I thought, I didn't say it, "unless I'm like you," you know. And, man, you know, what's the deal here? And none of it made sense. We came to Pastor Bob, pastor, about it, and he said, "Well, you just need to preach." "Preach, man, I'm dying." He said, "I preached myself out of a lot of problems." And this was on a Tuesday. It happened on a Monday. This was on a Tuesday when I was talking to Pastor. He wanted me to preach on Wednesday night. I said, "Man, could you wait till Sunday night or something?" You know. Anyway, but the bottom line is that that we had people that believed in us. Pastor Andrew Womack, friends that we had, we made a determination that what God spoke to us, that he had a new assignment for us, that no man could stop. That what God put in our heart, it didn't matter what people did. It wasn't going to change if we kept our hearts right, that God would still be able to do what he called us to do. Yeah? And in fact, Andrew sent me had come to our church every year for 20 some years, and so, you know, I just emailed my friend. I said, "Andrew, if you know a church anywhere, I need a job." And so Andrew emails back, and, you know, I can just hear his voice. "Oh, Greg," he said, "don't worry about it." He said, "This is just a sign of an insecure leader, you know, that's jealous of someone doing his job better than him. Take it as a compliment." I said, "Compliment, man, I need a job." But anyway, we just took some time and prayed and made sure that, you know, because I had friends, they were ready to go to fight for me, you know. And I said, "Look, you know, this just isn't going to be, no way you could slice or dice it up. It was right. Number two, I'm not going back. Number three, I got to get my heart right. This guy can't stop me. His decision cannot stop me. And so pastor helped us. We have friends that helped us. God, the Holy Ghost helped us. So we didn't enter into sin, you know, that this position, we were in idolatry with a position. It's Jesus. And 7 weeks later, long story short, Andrew calls us in, and he needed help with his extension Bible schools, and they were starting a business school and other things. And so I'm sitting in there, and they're offering me this position. And I knew when I was sitting there that the Lord said, "This is real. This is it." And I'm not saying God caused all that other stuff to launch us into this new thing, but I'm just telling you what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good, and we just allowed him to steward our hearts, amen. Or we stewarded our hearts, and then now in June 3rd, I'm moving into the role of the Dean of Education at Karis Bible College. I'm pinching myself. I just got. We flew to Switzerland, Holland, Poland, and I'm on my way to India, Don. And I'm pinching myself. I said, you know, I could have filed a lawsuit against this ministry. You know, that would have been good. Local pastor sues ministry. You know, I mean, all these things. You know, because it wasn't right. How many of y'all would agree that wasn't right? But you know, two wrongs don't make a right. And the right thing is I have stewarded my heart, but we're seeing everywhere we go, we're seeing God move, and we're taking the move of the Spirit and the Word of God together, and man, lives are being transformed, and God's using me to do this. I'm thinking, Dale, the words that you spoke probably maybe it was 3 years in a row about healing ministry. Of course, I've got a healing book and. You know, in the healing ministry, but you've said all these things, and I'm thinking, how is this possible? Now I'm telling you, through Andrew's ministry, we're on live streaming. I'm teaching the healing school there. We're going out and doing healing schools all over the world on another man's influence that I couldn't have done. You know, I couldn't have figured this out had I tried. And all I'm saying, guys, is listen. God, if we'll keep our hearts right, whatever God told us to do, and not get offended, not yield to the sin, the problem of complaining and murmuring, no, the sin of murmuring and complaining and allowing your heart to be offended because someone else doesn't do right. I can't control what someone else does, and neither can you. But I got news for you. Man, what God told me He's going to accomplish, He will accomplish if I'll steward my heart. Amen? Man, I don't care if 100 people not doing right isn't going to keep God from doing what He wants to do through me. I mean, you can read in Matthew where it talks about in the last days, you know, you need to guard against being offended. And look at the downward spiral in Matthew 24. It talks about, you know, offense. If you're offended, then you're going to enter into betrayal, hatred, deception. And in the context, and then cold lawlessness and cold love. It's a downward spiral, and it starts with offense. The context there, he's talking about false prophets. Do you know how false prophets become false prophets? They start as true prophets who allow offense to reign in their hearts. I mean, you go, it's not my message, but you go and read it. And I've just decided, I don't care. Nobody can stop me from what God's called me to do. And I'm telling you, my wife and I today, you know, are living in something we couldn't have done for ourselves. It's through relationship with Pastor, with Andrew Womack, with so many of you. And I mean, the things that God had put in my heart here, you know, I've taught here in the Bible school, and David and Janet saw that we had a gift, and they said, "Hey, this class is good. Do you have something else?" And yeah, well, yeah, I got something else. And I like this one. Do you have another one? I said, "Yeah, I've got another one." And we developed all those courses and taught them here, and then now I'm teaching them all over the world. I mean, literally, it's all over the world. Well, these courses that we developed and started right here at Calvary, we're teaching all over the world. And I go in these places where they've got these extension Bible schools, and I come in because they've seen me like Pastor did when he was at the taught of the Bible school. I'm a rock star when I go. Yeah. No, really what it is, I mean, it's not celebrity worship. It's just the fact that you're there, you're placing value on that school, but they've seen you. It's like they know you. It's awesome. The influence that God is given. But listen, guys, I'm telling you that it doesn't just happen like ripe cherries off a tree falling on you. It's you stewarding your heart. And someone here is failing to steward their heart. They've yielded to offense. In fact, just look over there. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And let me find it. And verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come into my name saying, I'm Christ. Let's see, let's go down to verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you and be hated of all nations. And then, verse 10, this is where I want, then will many be what? Offended. And then they what? Betray one another, then they'll what? Hate one another, then what? Many false prophets will rise up. Let me tell you where they rise up. They rise up out of a place of offense. And deceive many. So here, and then they become lawless. So it's problems, Bill. It's not sins. Lawlessness will abound, and then the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end, what is he talking about? He who endures to the end with a heart free from offense. And I'm just telling you what I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say. I know who I know and what I know. That someone here, you didn't yet repent. And this message, earlier message, was sent from heaven to you. And he's trying to keep you from entering into the place of falseness in your ministry. And he's saying to today, not another day, and not just someone who will watch this live streaming, though it may affect someone there too, that you've allowed offense to come into your heart. And because of that, you've yielded to, you can't help but yield to betrayal, which includes murmuring and complaining. And the answer is simply this: repent. Because maybe it isn't right. You know, what happens is the reason why we enter into offense because we justify the offense because of what someone did or didn't do. But the bottom line, look, guys, it wasn't right. There's no way you can slice or dice that up and make it right. It wasn't right. It wasn't right. But listen, I'm not going to let what someone else did that wasn't right stop me from my place in the kingdom. And I'm not going to tolerate offense. It starts with offense. And I am sorry as a leader, on behalf of leaders, I want to apologize to you that we've failed you or let you down. But I got news for you. Your problem is you got your eyes on men and not on Jesus. Look, you get your eyes on Jesus, He will not hurt you or offend you. And where men have, God will help you steward your heart and you can get to the next place that He has for you. And you can get to the next place with great grace. I'm talking to someone here today. You've allowed something that's happened. You may not even recognize it. But you're sour. You're not alive like you were. You're not excited and vibrant. You're a dud in the kingdom. Man, where you were alive, you were infecting other people with life and joy, and now you're just a big dud. You're a drag on what's going on. You got a sour face and a sour spirit, and God, listen, God wants to use you, but He can't. And you're spiraling down to a place where you're going to become a false prophet. Because you've got a gift and you'll end up using that gift, but the problem is like Hebrews 12 says, you're going to infect other people with your offense and your betrayal and all the, and your self-justification. I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry that happened to me. But I got news for you. Man, I'm flying today. Hallelujah. I'm soaring. Amen. And I'm free from offense. I'm free as a bird. Hallelujah. Man. I'm seeing God move everywhere. In fact, I know because He's moving right now. I haven't even got to my notes. He's moving right now to free us from the sin of the sin, S-I-N, of offense. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask, because I know the Holy Ghost. If you confess your sin, how many of you know that when you confess, it's not when God knew about it? It's just when you get it off of you, man. It's just when you get it off of you. And I'm just going to be bold and ask today, because this is the leaders' conference here. If God's witnessing to you that you've allowed that in your heart, I just want you to stand up. I'm going to just pray for you, and I'm going to agree with you. You're going to get that off of you. No more betrayal. Amen. Thank you for being bold. Thank you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, man, when you humble yourself, you get grace. I mean, the grace here for freedom, the grace here for freedom is here. Man, this is awesome. This is awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just put one hand over your heart. Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name the same thing you did for Janice and me that you do for each one here. In fact, those of you that are around them, let's just agree with them. Somebody touch them. Man, I mean, aren't you guys in a right way proud of people who just humble themselves? Man, really. Let me tell you something. You talk about pleasing God and blessing God. Man, you guys, God's pumped about the fact that you just responded. Now, there's some others here. There's one here. Let's just lay hands on him, because I'm telling you, man, God's setting you free. And I'm telling you what He's going to do. He's going to promote you. Hallelujah. He's going to promote you. Thank you, Jesus. Just say, Father, I thank you. Let's all pray together with them. Father, I thank you for freedom from offense. Lord, I repent of receiving this offense, for having expectation on others to do for me what only you can do. No one can stop me, Lord, from what you've called me to do. And so today, I set everyone free who has offended me. I release them from what they owe me. Even if it's a simple apology, I release them. And I'm free today. I receive your freedom from offense, from betrayal, from deception, from cold love. In Jesus' name, I receive the grace to do in my heart what you did in Greg and Janice's heart. You're no respecter of persons. I thank you, Father. This land is your land. This land of my heart is free from offense. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, everybody who stood, listen. I declare unto you today your freedom from the sin of offense. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's released, and now you are free. You are free today for God to promote you. Amen? Wow. Man, I'm glad I came to church today. Is that awesome or what? Wow. Man. Isn't God good? Wow. See, that's not a negative, is it? Man, freedom. Hallelujah. I'm not going to... Here's the deal. I do have a message. I'm going to have to give you Cliff Notes version. Is that okay? All right. But I believe the message that God's given me is strong enough that for any preacher or pastor here today, okay, because I'm not going to have time to unpack it, all right, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of the points. I will send you my notes, okay? All you've got to do is write your email down. I will email you the notes. You can preach it. I mean, it would take, really, if you unpack it and do, I mean, you could do a 6-point or 8-point series on it, and it'll bless you. But if you put it in a book and sell it, you better send me the tithe. That's all I got news for you. I'll tell you. Look at 1 Peter. You know, but if you don't, I'm not going to get offended. Praise God, the truth is preached. Amen? Even if you stole it. Praise God. All right, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. I better get there myself for 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Wow, isn't this good? Just to be in, I thought Rodney last night was just the best I've heard him in a long time. It's just awesome, just to teach us how to flow. And that's what we need today. We need a balance between teaching and in flow. I mean, we've got to have a move of the Spirit. Guys, the answer to what happened in the Boston bombing and the 9/11 and everything else are people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. If animals can follow their instinct and move to higher ground ahead of the tsunami, people who are filled with the Holy Ghost can listen to God and avoid tragedies. Yes, absolutely. And while we're pastoring and ministering, we need to be that type of people. While we're teaching, the Holy Ghost can move and interrupt our message to get people set free, delivered, whatever it is that they need. Amen? So 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everybody say manifold grace of God. How many of you know that that tells us something about grace? Okay, it tells us that it's many-sided. And what I want to talk to you today about is the dimensions of grace. The dimensions of grace. I'm at a grace Bible school. And, you know, we hear all kinds of things, and a lot of it is garbage in the name of grace that really is a disgrace. It's not grace. It's just your idea of grace. And so, and then, or it's just people just get one dimension of grace, one side of it, and they promote it like that's all there is about grace. And the theme of this conference is unity, all in one accord, walking in unity. And one of the most powerful truths of the Bible yet today in this culture, divisive doctrines, has to do with different people's translation or understanding of grace. I don't know if you've heard it. I mean, you can go on Facebook or the internet, and you got all kinds of stuff in the name of grace. Repackaged universalism. Yeah. And we've even had some of it being taught in our Bible schools, and we've had to run some people out. Repackaging universalism, because Jesus already forgave everybody of all their sins, right? And so, you know, we don't need to do anything to be saved. No, how many of you know we're... The trick question, how many of you know we're saved by grace? No, we're not. I said it was a trick question. We're saved by grace through, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? By grace through, so you walk in Him. Look, just like the faith, I went to Rhema. I saw faith guys get off, you know, confessing for things God's grace never provided them with. Well, now it's the other side of the ditch. Now we don't have to do anything. Just sit on our hands. In fact, you don't even, it's great that you preach this today, Bill, because what some of the stuff that's coming out in the name of grace is that, you know, is His sacrifice cover all sins once and for all? Yes, absolutely. But does that mean we don't need to confess our sins? That's the kind of garbage that's coming out. You don't need to repent anymore. You don't need to confess your sins because Jesus already dealt with them. Well, look, that would be like, you know, I've been married to this beautiful woman over here 41 years. She was 12, I was 13. No, really, I mean, we were very young. But that'd be like me leaving the house for 3 days and not calling her, not telling her where I'm at. She's worried. She's calling around. She's calling the police. She's calling everything. And I walk in 3 days later. Where have you been? I've been terrified. What? We've been praying. We've been all this. And I get a copy, Robbie, of my marriage license. And I said, listen, did you commit to me for better or worse? Well, was this worse? Well, what do you have to complain about? How many of you know that's not going to fly, darling? Well, neither does it fly in your relationship with God when you go off and yield to your flesh and then you just come back and hold back to the Lord. Well, I mean, I don't need to confess my sins. I mean, my God, I mean, Jesus, you paid the price. And so, you know, we have people are all over the map on grace. And, in fact, I was with Tony Cook a few weeks ago he and I went to Rhema together, and he was a dean at Rhema for a while. And he was telling me about an incident that he had with one of the premier grace teachers. If I named their name, you would know who they are. And then they're talking about, you know, well, they don't even believe the book of James was written to the church. It says, to my beloved brethren. It's not written to the church. Anyway, because it has works in it. The word works. And it's so much is proliferating in the name of grace today. And we've had conversations behind the scenes with Andrew. He doesn't believe all that stuff. And so we're having to deal with it. So what I want to do is share with you what God downloaded in me about the dimensions of grace that I believe will help you take this thing about grace that's supposed to be a blessing and to minister it to your people in such a way that they're not going to be caught up when somebody says work, that, oh, that's law. Well, you know, there could be some works that are law, but not all of them are they? Amen? So the dimensions of grace, I'm going to list them for you and give them to you. And I'm going to amplify one or two of these, but I'm just going to give you the scriptures. Is that okay, instead of just unpacking it? So number one is the goodness of God grace. Goodness of God grace. You could say saving grace, but it's essentially, you know, we heard that shared by Oral Roberts. God is a good God, amen. And it's essentially, you get that from, lots of verses, but Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 3 talk about all the wonderful things that God's done for us. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're chosen in Him. We're loved by Him. We're adopted by Him. You know, we have all these things that He's given us. We have all these things. He's given us these things, and He's given them to us freely without anything that we could do to earn it, right? All these things, we're sealed by Him. We're seated together in heavenly places. We've received His love. All these things, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, that talk about what we have, who we are, and what we have because of what He's done. Okay? Now, is that important? Okay, let me just sum up all of that, that goodness of God grace, with just an example from Dennis the Menace. You ever watched Dennis the Menace? Dennis the Menace was coming home from Mrs. Wilson's house with his friend Joey. And they were loaded down with cookies. In fact, they had to put some of their cookies in the wagon that Mrs. Wilson had given to them. And Joey, while they're going home with all these cookies, Joey turns to Dennis and he said, Dennis, what did we do to deserve Mrs. Wilson giving us all these cookies? And Dennis turns to Joey, and his answer describes really this first dimension of God's grace, the goodness of God's grace, is that he said, Mrs. Wilson didn't bake all these cookies because we're so nice. It's because she's so nice. Yeah? And this goodness of God's grace, all these things He's done for us, you know, given us healing, it has nothing to do with what, aren't you thankful, Charlie? Praise God. Has nothing to do with our relative goodness, anything we could do to earn it, you know, all of that. But it's because of His goodness, right? And then Romans 8:32, do you have that where you can put that up, Romans 8:32. Well, I don't have the screen in front of me, but let's see. Y'all have that, or I can just turn in my Bible. I'll turn in my Bible then. Praise God. Romans 8:32. There it is. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So everything we need, it's all by His grace, man. Yeah? That's awesome. But here's the problem. The answer also creates this problem. If that's all the understanding you have of grace, can I tell you that you're just one-dimensional Christian? Decatur, Texas, high school football team, I think it was in 2003, they had the best high school football team in 3A, Robbie. I mean, I'm talking about they had a little running back like Emmett Smith. They had a quarterback that was, you know, went on and played for Baylor for a while. I mean, just this guy, the team was awesome. They beat the eventual state champions. Abilene Wiley, I think, was the state champions that year. They beat them in the regular season 44-7. But the day before, I mean, the week before we played them in the semifinals in state, the little running back got hurt. What did that make us as a team? One-dimensional. And what happened? We went into their red zone 9 times and got 13 points. They entered our red zone twice and got 14 points. I mean, it was just uncanny. We missed 2 field goals. One was blocked. The guy goes over the end zone and you know, just crossed an end zone, and he dropped the football, fumbled it, went out of the end zone. We lost because we became one-dimensional. Let me tell you something. If your understanding of a grace is one-dimensional, you will lose. Did he say in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, that the grace of God is many-sided? There's more than one dimension. Yes? The second dimension of grace that I want to talk to you about, and I'm just going to be able to, this one I'm going to amplify a little bit. I call it discipleship grace. You could call it serving grace, whatever you want to call it. But 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "By the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored." Everybody say labor. "I labored more abundantly than they all." How did you labor, Paul? By grace. You know what some people are saying today? "Pastor, we're leaving the church because you're talking about working and serving, and that's not grace." I got news for you. Right here, this says that the Apostle Paul labored by grace. Look, Ephesians, how many chapters does Ephesians have? 6. Okay, understanding the first dimension of grace is all encompassed in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, but it doesn't end with 3. Chapter 4, he starts chapter 4 and says, Therefore, because of all you have, all He's given you, all that He's done for you, therefore walk worthy of the call. How do you do that? How do you do that? By grace, He empowers us to live a holy life, to love one another, to manifest Jesus instead of flesh. Yeah? Listen, guys, we have grace to do that too. We have grace to serve. I have grace to love my wife. I have grace to love people when they're acting like the devil. I have grace to manifest fruit instead of flesh. Listen, grace is not a divine ticket to passivity or laziness or license to manifest your flesh in the name of God loves me. Grace is the empowerment and the ability to do what He called you to do. That's another dimension of grace. And it involves work, but I'm not working for my salvation. I'm working from my salvation. I'm not working to try to gain approval from God. I have approval, and I'm letting Him work out my salvation. I'm telling you guys, we got to get this. And I've just got a whole lot of scriptures that I'll send you the notes. Because it's too much for, you know, it's too much for one, you know, one message. But look at Hebrews chapter 12 and I'm going to give you a couple of verses and then I'll just have to go on. But Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. I'm hearing this over and 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 over again. not in grace. You're talking. That's works, Pastor. And people are leaving churches, and then they're going to places that are supposedly preaching grace, but they're one-dimensional grace people. It's not the whole message. Is grace one-dimensional? It's not. It's many-sided. This is another side to grace. It's another dimension of grace. Look at it. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have what? Let us have grace which we may what? No, that's law. That's legalism. That's works. No, you're deceived. This is another dimension of grace. We have grace to what? Serve. We can serve with grace. In fact, guys, that's the way I serve. I do it by grace. I whatever I do, I'm doing. See, I don't. We need to understand this difference. The difference between works that are working that are law and trying to work for salvation, and the difference between works that are fruit of salvation. Works that are root of salvation is law. Works that are fruit of salvation are grace. Here's the difference, and here's the thing that will help you keep the balance. The finished work of the cross is sure, isn't that right? But listen, guys, the finished work of the cross doesn't make automatic the unfinished work of the church. The finished work of the cross doesn't mean the unfinished work of the church is done. Jesus is waiting until his enemies be made his footstool, and that has to do with you and me getting off our rears and getting out there by the grace of God and doing what God called us to do. And we do it by grace. Amen? I'm depending on him. I'm working, but I'm not doing it to earn. I've already got favor with God. I'm doing it as a fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. Yeah, and that's what people in the name of grace today are preaching, that the finished work of the cross, it's done, so we don't have to do anything. Hogwash, baloney, garbage, untrue. No, man. There's also the unfinished work of the church. The finished work of the cross gives us grace to go out and fulfill the unfinished work of the church. But the finished work, Jesus is waiting on you and me to draw on his grace, to do what he called us to do. And then Titus, you know this verse, Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. And so many verses, wow, you're just going to have to email me, okay? I'll just get you the outline. For the grace of God, verse 11 and 12, Titus 2, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. See, this is how do you do it? You do it by grace. So this is grace to live right. Yeah? This is another dimension of grace. Because of all that he did, now we have grace to do this, right? And I can just go on and on. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 talks about we're going to get reward for our labor. If you think it's going to be equal opportunity employer, when you get to heaven, you are one deceived Christian. We're going to get rewarded for the labor that we did by grace, for the obedience we did by faith. Yeah? But see, a message that's going out today is we don't do anything, and it's encouraging passivity, it's encouraging laziness, it's encouraging, you know, all kinds of things. It's not grace at all, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And I'm telling you, we are preaching and teaching the truth, at Karis Bible College and everywhere we go, we're preaching and teaching the truth about grace. And what's on my heart is you guys will take this same message and not get in a ditch on the other side afraid of grace, but that you'll fully preach all the dimensions of grace. Amen? And like I said, there's just so many. I've got all these verses. Look up yourself. Just labor and work, and you'll see that most of it is not the kind of works and law that is trying to get right with God. It has to do with things we do because of the fact that we're right with God. And I can't read all that, or I'll never get finished. So number three, I'm just going to give you these, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. I'm going to give them to you. Number three is assignment grace. Assignment grace. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, his grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Everybody say, in nature, I have fully the character of Christ. But in gifting, I have a measure. See, if you think you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all rolled up in one, you're a legend in your own mind. That's what you are. No, we each have a measure. Say, I have a measure in my gifting. Listen, man, I brought Jerry up to the school, man. I mean, he blew it up. Just the move of God. But I can't do what Jerry does the way he does it, Bobby. I tried. Just forget it. Lord, I know you did, but I mean, I can't do what he does. So I just do what I do. Amen. I'm not going to try to do it. But you know what else? Jerry can't do what I do. Amen? No, I can't do what Pastor does. But you know what? I can, you know, glean from him and learn from him so that I can be the best me. Yeah? But each of us has a specific assignment, and I'm not going to take time to read it all, but in 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul said in verse 13, I don't move outside of the measure that God assigned to me. I stay within my measure. And then that keeps me then from, he said, it's not wise to compare yourself to others. And the way he said to keep from doing that, stay within the measure of what God called you to do. There's an assignment each of us have. Romans 12:6, each of us has gifts according to the faith that he's given us. Look, all I can do is stand before God for my assignment. And you know what? I'm going to do that with all my heart. Dave, amen, hallelujah. Man, it's just so, like, again, there's so much here, but 2 Corinthians 3:5 says our sufficiency or our adequacy is of God. I've never felt adequate to do anything God called me to do. But you know what? When he calls me, Mark, I step into it by grace. Number four, is this okay? Number four is strengthening grace. Strengthening grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, you know, by his grace we were strengthened. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says we're adequate in Christ. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say I'm strong. I mean, you know, I'm strength. How many of you ever felt weak? See, Pastor, God strengthened you. Well, first of all, he strengthened me in 1994 when we were going through hell. And then recently, you know, when we went through all that, he strengthened Janice and me through you. And then, you know, so another time when you need strength, you know, we can gather around and strengthen one another. See, God sends people, but part of his strengthening grace and part of the reason why we need relationship and why we need the body of Christ is because there's strengthening grace we can receive from one another that we cannot receive alone. Now, I know there are times when we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord, but it doesn't take the place of the supply of his grace that happens in his body. So there's strengthening grace. And again, I'm just really doing a bad job of trying to, I can't take the time to unpack it for sake of time. But number five, covering grace. Covering grace. And now, what does covering grace do? It keeps me free from judgment of others. Hebrews 4:16 says, I can go to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. But Ephesians 4:32 said we're supposed to be doing that to one another. So you know what? There are times covering grace. Here's what covering grace is for me. Covering grace is there are times with others in my relationship, I'm supposed to cover them. I'm not supposed to expose them. I'm talking about the minor stuff, weaknesses, idiosyncrasies, you know, of our man or woman of God. There's weaknesses. I mean, there's just idiosyncrasies. I mean, except for Keith and me, I mean, you know. And Tracy and Janice could tell off on us pretty good. Amen. But no, we each have stuff, don't we? Yeah. But you know what? You know what we need people to do? We need people to cover us in those areas. And as leaders, we need to cover others by, and here's what I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about hiding your head in the sand. I'm just talking about seeing past their flesh and mining out and calling forth the new creation potential in them. Jesus gave us a parable about the man that found a treasure in the field. He went and sold everything, and he came bought the whole field to get the treasure. See, we people have preached that. That was us. We recognize the treasure in Jesus. We sold all to follow him. Well, there's application there, but let me tell you, Robbie, what it really is. Jesus, the Father, saw the treasure in you. And he went and sold all, and he, and stand up, Robbie. And he bought the dirt to get to the treasure. And he sees past your dirt, and he sees the treasure in you, man of God. And I call forth the treasure in you, Robbie. I call forth the treasure of the man of God that's on the inside of you. I call it forth, man of God. Hail, thou man of God. You are equipped to do what I've called you to do. You need to agree with God and stop looking at your flesh, stop looking at your failures, stop looking at your faults, stop looking at your past. You look at what I see, because what I see in you is a treasure that is going to be used by me to mine the treasure out of others. Now, Father, I just call this forth. I call the man of God, man of God, arise, and every enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's how we do. It's not that we don't ever address the flesh and the carnal things and all that. There are times to do that. There are times to do that. But even while we're doing that, see, the difference between grace and legalism isn't so much what part of the Bible you preach out of, Old Testament or New. It has more to do with what part of man you speak to, their flesh or their born-again spirit man. See, because I can confront you and even rebuke you and leave you with hope if I'm just saying, you know what you did was wrong, this hurt, this wasn't right, but let me tell you something, you're better than that. That leaves them with hope, doesn't it? So that's covering grace. Is this okay? All right. I've got the airport in sight. All right? So get nervous. But is this okay? Because we've got to know, guys, and we've got to teach about the dimensions of grace. If we don't, people are going to think it's just one thing. And the Bible clearly says it's not one thing. It's just like electricity. Electricity can do a lot of things. Electricity can cause you to amplify my voice, and you hear my voice. It'll cause you to see better. It causes you to be cool or warm. A lot of different things. It's all electricity, but it's many dimensional. The grace of God is like that. All right? Does that help you? Then there is leadership grace. Leadership grace. Is that number six? Did I give you number five? Yeah. Number six is leadership grace. And this is where you need to confront, but it's also doing what I just did here in this example with Robbie, and where it's where your Ephesians 4:29 says we are to impart grace to the hearer. Grace here is a leader speaking to a son or daughter in the faith, or a brother or sister, giving them the power to become. When I'm imparting grace, I'm telling you what your potential is. It's what Dale does in the prophetic. You're seeing things maybe you didn't see before, or God had been dealing with you, and it confirms it, and then it gives you the power to step up into it by God's grace. It's the power to become. Also, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, it talks about be strong in grace, and then he goes on to talk about how you're to commit to faithful man who shall be able. Then at the last part of the chapter, in verse 24 through 26, he's talking about sometimes you've got to pull people out of the fire. You've got to rebuke them, help them to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Is that not true? That's part of leadership grace. So sometimes there's confronting that's involved. Sometimes there's a rebuking, but it's all for the purpose of them moving into, listen, you're dealing with this and this and this. It used to be a problem, but it's not a problem anymore. It's a sin, we've determined today. So we're going to move out of that place of sin, and we're going to move into the place of promise. And so leaders do that. They don't just pat you on the back. I'll just tell you everything's good. I'm okay. You're okay. Are you okay? I'm okay if you're okay. Am I okay? Am I all right? Is this okay? You're okay. If I'm okay, if you think I'm okay, then, you know, you're okay. No, man, it's truth. Truth is not us patting one another on the back social club. It's truth that makes us okay. And if you're not yielding to the truth, and I'm a leader in your life, I'm going to come speak to you and say, hey, man, I love you, but you know what? You're not lying, and your life isn't lining up with the truth right now, and you're not a sweet-smelling savor unto God. You're not salt and light right now, and I'm just want to help you get salty again. Amen? And there's just a lot of things here. I'm not going to give it all to you. I already gave you the verses, okay? Is that okay? Then finally, we have landed. All right? But don't disembark yet. Giving and receiving grace. Giving and receiving grace. Now, I do want you to look over there. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Giving and receiving grace, because this is a word that I got about this conference that the Lord is dealing with me that some of us haven't received. We know it, but we haven't received it. Giving and receiving grace. We know it, Dave, but we all haven't received it. If we had all received it, then what it says about this grace would be manifesting in a greater measure. Look at chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all what? Abound toward who? Who's you? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that would be enough. Everybody say enough. May also have an abundance in every good work. So here's what would abundance be. Bobby says it's extra. I got that from Bobby. I nicked it from Bobby. Enough. Everybody say enough. And extra. Okay, so here's what he said. I'm going to give you all grace, so that you would have enough and what? So enough and what? Now, when you companion that with Genesis 12:1-3, where God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you that you will be a. I will bless you that you will be a. Okay, see, it's biblical prosperity is never Dead Sea. It's never bless me. And my four and no more. It's blessed to be a, blessed to be a, and enough and extra. Everybody say, blessed to be a blessing, enough and extra. And he said he's given us all grace to have enough and extra. So let me ask you a question real quick. I mean, we have landed again, but we haven't got to the terminal yet. So the quicker you answer this question, you know, and get it, we'll embark. But how many of you ever had a need where you didn't have that amount of money in the bank or in your hand? Any of you ever had that need, a need like that? All right. All right, give me an amount, Mark. How much? $50,000. Someone else? $28,000. Someone else? $15,000. All right. 50, 28, 15. All right. Did you have the 50 grand in your hand in the bank? Did you have the 28? Did you have the 15? Okay. So you went to God and you asked him for 50 grand, for 28 grand, for 15 grand. No condemnation here, but let me ask you, knowing what we know about God's grace now, that it's blessed to be a blessing, that it's enough and extra, is it enough for Mark to pray for 50 grand? For Odell to pray for 28 grand? For Robbie to pray for 15 grand? No, because that ends with you. Do you see that? The reason why we're not moving it, see, you didn't have the 50, you didn't have the 28, you didn't have the 15. Okay, so you're asking God for it, right? Well, what sweat is it off your back to ask God for 56? Or for 30? For 56? Or 100? I'm just asking. If the grace of God to me is enough and extra, then is it ever enough for me to pray for enough? That's not Bible prosperity. Bible prosperity is enough and extra, not just asking for my needs, but it's asking for me. And then, by the way, Mr. Devil, while you came to present lack to me, I'm going to ask for extra. I'm going to give you a double black eye. Yeah? Come on, guys. It's not enough to pray for enough. That's not Bible prosperity. It's not. It's to be blessed to be a blessing. It's to have enough and extra. And I don't care. You know, I'm just proposing that you ask for double. But whatever it is, that's between you and God. But it's not enough for you to ask for enough. I can tell you that. If you want to pay off your church, help somebody pay theirs off, ask God for enough and extra, even if it's a payment. Come on, guys. If we want to abound in this grace, then we've got to stop being selfish with prosperity. I know it wasn't intentional, but we just didn't read the book. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. And now, where the seat belts are about to come off, and we're about to. If you get this, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love for us, see to it that you abound in this grace also. This grace tells us this is a distinct grace, and it's one of the manifold, many-sided graces of God, but it's not optional. I said it's not optional. It's not optional to just get by financially. It's not optional to just have enough and just pray for enough. It's not optional, guys. It's not optional for us to pray for enough and extra. He said, I want you to abound in this grace. What grace? Giving and receiving grace. And the devil cannot stop me. Just like he couldn't stop me from going to where God called me when somebody else did something. The devil cannot stop me when it doesn't look like I have enough. You know, part of our problem is that when we face lack, you know, how many of you know how much it takes to run your ministry, your business, all that, you know. And so if the offerings don't come in, if the mail doesn't come in like it's supposed to, then, you know, I used to say, well, this is a bad offering. I know, I'm just confessing my sin. I mean, if it was more, I said, man, this is a great offering. If it was enough, I said, this is a good offering. And then, but when if it wasn't, I said, man, this is not good. And one day God said, I mean, I probably didn't say bad, but not good and bad are probably the same thing. And one day the Lord said, who said that? I said, well, I guess I did. And he said, what did I do when I faced lack? Feeding 15,000 people. I'll run that little boy off of those 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't need that. What's that? No. He took what he had. He blessed it. He gave thanks for it. He lifted it up to God. What did God do? He multiplied. And did it meet the need of the people? And what else? What else? Somebody tell me what else? What else? It was enough and? It was enough and? Listen, guys, that's what God has for us. Now, I want to pray for you, okay? And this is the grace I want to pray over you. I mean, certainly all these other graces are good, aren't they? Did you learn anything about God's grace today? Okay, again, I'll send you the notes. The notes are gooder. But I want to pray this giving and receiving grace over you, because I'm telling you, what Dale said today, this morning, is an accurate word. It's the big. 2013 is the year of the big. But you're not going to receive the big unless you receive God's grace. And God's grace to prosper. And God's grace to prosper is not enough for you just to believe God for your ministry. Now, it's time, guys, that we believe big to help others. We believe big. If you're going to plant a church, to plant others. Amen? All the things that God's going to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want you to come up to the front. I'm just going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. It's time to prosper. It's time to receive the grace to prosper. It's time. It's time, Dale. It's time, the things God's put in your heart for you to see. You've prophesied words. You've spoken words. You've enabled many. But I just hear the Lord say that this year, He's sending many to you to help enable you to do what He's put in your heart. You've sowed in many lands, you've sowed in many people's fields, but the Lord said He's going to prosper your field this year. Hallelujah. Father, I just agree with Dale in Jesus' name that what you put in his heart, Father, Lord, it's enough, but it's extra. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for as he's sown in other men's fields, you're sending people, Lord, to help him in Jesus' name. Receive. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Pastor, you enjoy. Come here, honey, Janice. You enjoy. Really, literally, for so many of us here have been lifesavers. How many of you could attest to? I'm not talking. Don't raise your hand if this isn't true. But if it's true for you, that something of their ministry has saved your life or helped you, encouraged you, lift your hand real high. Look, Pastor, you got this whole company around you. I wouldn't be, literally. I mean, I'm not like my kid said. Are you just preaching, Dad? I'm not. This is the truth. I wouldn't be where I am today. We'd be on the spiritual junk heap somewhere without a pastor, without people that loved us. One time my wife is crying in her spiritual beer. You know what I mean? She calls Joy. She's wanting to get sympathy. They're doing all this to us, sending letters out about us and everything. And Joy speaks to Janice. Well, honey, she said, we've all done things that we've regretted later, haven't we? She didn't just pat her on the back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, darling. Man, she made her accountable. It was awesome. The great kingdom leaders. And we're all here, Pastor. All of us here, the majority of us here are here. We're the fruit of your ministry. And today we're declaring and decreeing that this next season of your life and your lives in ministry, we are going to lift your arms. We're going to lift you in prayer. It's like God Himself is going to carry you. Amen. I'm telling you guys. See, right now, I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. I called you up to prosper, but we remember the definition of prosperity is what? It's enough and extra. It's blessed to be a blessing. Really, God's called us up here to stand behind this man and woman of God. And we're going to stand behind them like never before. Listen, they called you and they've helped you in your hour of need. Now it's our time to lift them up. And in this next season, that God breathe a breath of fresh air, fresh wind of the Holy Ghost through them. And and in our giving, in our prayers, in our relationship, in our encouragement, it's time, guys, for us to rally around the man and woman of God that made us who we are. David, you and I'd be nothing. I'm telling you, I know you. You and I'd be nothing. And you know me. We'd be zero with a rim knocked off. Amen? Absolute truth. This man believed in me when nobody even knew me. I thought when God was calling me to Decatur, I was sentenced to anonymity, spiritual anonymity. And now, like Dale said, my name is known. But it's because a pastor believed in me when nobody else even knew me, Mark. So you know what? It's our time, guys. God's going to bless us, and I'm going to pray prosperity over us and our ministries. But I'm telling you, it's our time to whatever God tells us to do, our part, to lift our pastors' arms, hands, finances, whatever they need. And instead of him calling us and say, what do you need? It's our time to call them. What do you need, Pastor? Amen? I'm telling you guys, it's our time. It's our time, sons in the faith. It's our time to lift their arms. Hallelujah. So let's just do that. Amen? Some of you standing around them, just lay your hands on them. Let's just bless them. Hallelujah. Father, first of all, I'm praying for everyone here, Father, that they receive the grace. Say, I receive the grace to prosper enough and extra. And part of my extra, I give to this house, to this man of God, this man and woman of God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for strength, for strengthening their hearts. Father, for adding strength to their lives. Father, cause this season to be a season of refreshing. We bless them financially. We bless them emotionally. We bless them spiritually. Father, we bless their health in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you thanks for this man and woman of God, Father. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you have something, Odell? Okay. Thank you, Father. Do you have something, honey? Thank you, Father. This is a special time, guys. God's gathered us together to be one, to be a real family. Amen? It's time for us to manifest. It's not just about us. Do you receive that grace to prosper? It's enough and extra. It's not just about me. Odell, how many times? He's called me, telling me, you know, I've got to go. I love Odell. And there he's going through, you know, his wife at that time was sick. And he just left to go minister to you. Praise God. Well, now it's our time. Amen. It's our time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we receive the grace to prosper. Father, the abundance of your grace, it's enough and extra. And Lord, we've got enough grace to not just think about what's going on with us, but it's really about us serving and blessing others. It's what Michael does for Odell. It's what Charlie and Lori do for Pastor. Charlie and Lori, I just want to say on behalf of the Lord and on behalf of the men and women of God who love Pastor, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys bless our hearts because you bless our pastor. Amen. You know what? Man, God's going to give us, would to God, give me more Charlie and Lori's. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you for just strengthening this couple, just blessing them. Father, just bless them, Lord. And Lord, as Pastor and Joy receive their season of refreshing, Lord, it's time, Father, for you, their refreshing in them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I'm asking you to knit our hearts together, a revival now like never before in relationship. Father, help us to be sensitive about toward one another during the year. Not only pastor, but for one another. You put relationships here. Help us steward these relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Is that okay today? Listen, grace is not just one thing. And we're going to walk in the full, in the fullness of the dimension of grace. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.